Well, I wonder what's going on through your minds as I'm about to share with you in a message on anxiety. Well, actually, I have a pretty good idea what's going on in your minds because in preparation for this sermon, I wrote to a lot of our adult Sunday classes at different ages and asked them, what is it that causes you anxiety? So they let me know. And it confirmed my suspicion, which was that anxiety is something we struggle with our whole life. It's just different stages of life have different triggers, different circumstances, situations that spur that anxiety on within us. I think it really all begins, at least it began for me, in earnest in my teenage years. What are others thinking of me? Am I cool? Am I in? Are people going to like me? Am I going to make the football team? Obviously, you can tell I didn't with this build. Am I going to make the basketball team, the lacrosse team, the track team? Then there's the stress of grades and tests. Shortly after we moved back to America from Turkey, our son was going to George C. Marshall High School, and he said, Dad, don't worry. As long as there's tests, there'll be prayer in public school. The reason there are teenagers are so stressed about grades and tests is they're wondering, am I going to get into my dream college? Or at least into a good college? And then you get into college, and the tape rewinds to a lot of the same issues. What do people think of me? Are they going to like me? Will I be in? Grades and tests. Because after I graduate, am I going to get a good job? Or am I going to get any job? Am I going to be able to get those student loans paid off before retirement? And then this job I'm in, do I really want to be doing this my whole life? Is this the right career? Is this what I should be doing? Will anyone notice me? Will anyone want to marry me? After we get married, are we going to be able to have children? And then you have children, and the floodgates open on this topic of anxiety. You realize we live in a jungle. This is not a safe place, this world we live in. How do you protect your children from all those dangers? What if they get some kind of strange disease? What if they get cancer? What if my spouse gets cancer? What if I get cancer? And if any of us do get cancer, is God going to hear our prayer for healing? Is my relationship with my parents or my children, is it ever going to get right? Is it ever going to get healed? Am I going to be able to save enough for retirement? What is enough for retirement? Am I going to be able to find another job? I've been unemployed now for over a year. Are we going to run out of money? Are we going to have to sell our home? Are we going to have to move? I mean, the statistics are clear. It's so much harder for a 55-year-old who's unemployed to get a job than a 30-year-old. Am I ever going to get a job again? Will my mom or my dad or my siblings, will they ever come to faith before they pass away? And then we get to that last stage of life, and we begin to realize this cocoon, this body of ours, is starting to fall apart. Am I going to be able to live on my own? If not, who's going to take care of me? Will anyone visit me? Will I run out of money? Will that wayward child or grandchild of mine, are they ever going to turn to the Lord? And then you get beyond just the personal things and you look at the world and my oh my, just another terrorist attack this week in India. Are we ever truly safe? How many earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis have we had just this year? And then there's all these talks about debt ceilings and default. What is it? debt ceiling. I don't know. When we look at our society, if we lost our moral foundations, abortion, same-sex marriage, physician-assisted suicide, greed, Ponzi schemes, sexting, is God's judgment coming? And if so, what does that mean for us? How are we going to be affected? Well, if you don't struggle with anxiety, I certainly do. It's been a lifelong struggle of mine. Just a couple weeks ago, it was a Thursday morning. I'm in the kitchen. I'm making my peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch. And I notice that I'm nervous. And I think, okay, I haven't had too much caffeine yet. Why am I so jittery? And I began to realize, oh, the deadline for the office staff here, the deadline for my sermon notes and these slides is due soon. I'm feeling anxious about my sermon on how to deal with anxiety. I wish I was just making that illustration up. But we all need help. We all face anxiety. How do we deal with it? The Bible says anxiety weighs down the heart in Proverbs 12:25. Did you come today with a heavy heart? Do you have a heart that's weighed down by anxiety? What are we to do? How do we get victory over anxiety that's in our life? Well, there's two basic paths. There's man's way, the advice you get if you listen to the world, they tell you how to deal with anxiety. And then there's God's way. And there's two kings in the Old Testament, a father and a son, Ahaz and Hezekiah, and they illustrate for us these two different paths. Ahaz, they face very similar situations in life, both of which cause anxiety. The first one is Ahaz, he's the king of Judah, and he's facing an imminent attack from two countries to the north of his country, Judah, Israel and Aram. Israel and Aram join together, form an alliance, and they're coming to attack Judah. And he looks at it and says, this is not good. This is two against one. And he has anxiety. The book of Isaiah actually says, the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the field are shaken by the wind. They are experiencing an anxiety attack. They're stressed out. And God knows that. And God, in his mercy, sends his word. He sends his prophet, Isaiah. And Isaiah says to Ahaz, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. These guys are like a burned out matchstick. You don't have to worry about them. It's not going to come to pass. You are safe. But Ahaz does not find comfort in this promise from God, this word from God. He doesn't respond in faith. He responds with man's way of dealing with stress. I've got a problem out there. I've got to solve it. If I solve the problem, then I have no more anxiety. So he comes up with this great plan. There's two against one. I'll bring in someone else. Just to the north of Israel and Aram is the greatest power in that day, Assyria. He makes an alliance with Syria. Come and help me against these two smoldering stubs of firewood. And he does. And they're saved. But we see here the problem with man's way of dealing with anxiety. It deals only with the externals, the surface issue. It doesn't address the real heart core issue of what our struggle with anxiety is. It's like a burning oil rig. There's a fire, got to take care of this problem, send spray water, water puts out fire, right? Well, as long as that oil's pumping up through there, that fire is going to continue. You've got to shut the valve to cut off the source of that anxiety. And there's a real danger if you don't. If you let these fires of anxiety burn, It sets you on a downward trajectory that we don't want to be on. We all have experienced it. When you're anxious about something, you're distracted. You're distracted from your responsibilities in life. You're distracted from what you're supposed to be doing. But more profoundly, we can get distracted from God. And as the longer we're distracted, the more obsessive these thoughts become. We're focused on that thing out there, that situation that's causing me anxiety. And those thoughts become obsessive and turn to fears. And then fear leads to lack of faith. And that leads to disobedience. And we see this lived out in Ahaz. He focuses on the problem. He gets obsessed with it. It leads him to fear, lack of faith, and disobeys what God commanded. We have to resist this temptation to think that the real source of our anxiety is something out there. We're going to see from God's word that we have a much more profound struggle in this battle with anxiety. And God shows us up front how we're supposed to deal with anxiety. How do we get victory over anxiety in our life? God's way is simply prayer. And we see this lived out in Hezekiah, Ahaz's son. Hezekiah inherits from his father a mess. Remember, Israel, Aram, he appeals to Assyria. This is kind of like a cat who gets attacked by two cats. He looks around and says, this is not fair. It's two against one. So he turns to a pit bull and says, can you come help me with these two cats? Well, the pit bull is going to come help him. But after he wipes out the two cats, what's the pit bull going to do? He's going to turn and see another cat. And that's what happens. Assyria comes down. They wipe out Aram. They wipe out Israel. And then there's Judah, this nice country for them to take over. And they not only intimidate them, they come to the very walls of Israel and they trash talk the Israelites of Judah. They say, we're going to wipe you out so bad, you're going to have to drink your own urine and eat your own dung. That's a pretty bad visual picture in my mind. And certainly understandable why they would be anxious about this attack. But God, again, in his mercy, sends his prophet, the same prophet, Isaiah. And Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and says, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. And Hezekiah, unlike his father, responds in faith. Hezekiah realizes, even though my dad didn't have faith, doesn't mean I have to be defined by that. And he responds with faith. So he doesn't give in to the Assyrians. And the Assyrians, the leader of the Assyrians, sends them a letter and says to Hezekiah, listen, don't be a fool here. All the other peoples that we've attacked, they trusted in their gods, and their gods didn't rescue them. Don't go to trusting your God, because it's not going to work, and we're going to really wipe you out. He sends it in a letter. Hezekiah takes this letter, he lays it out, and he prays before God and says, God, you see these threats. And that night, God killed in their sleep. God, not the Israelites, not Judah, not their army. God killed 185,000 Assyrians soldiers. Now, if you have a hard time quantifying 185,000 in your mind, I certainly did. If you add up the total number of Americans killed in action in the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, World War I, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Gulf War, all together, it comes out to just a little over 141,000. God killed 44,000 more than were killed in all those wars. What do we learn from that? God is an awesome God. Prayer is powerful. And if prayer can wipe out the strongest army in the world at that time, it can take care of whatever's causing you anxiety. And that's where Paul takes us. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, we're just going to read two verses today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. How are we to deal with anxiety? It starts off, be anxious for nothing. Well, at first glance, this sounds a little bit like a popular song from the 90s. Don't worry, be happy. Well, of course, we'd all rather be happy than to worry. We'd all rather be anxious for nothing, but it sounds a lot simpler. It sounds a lot easier said than done. But there's a reason God tells us to be anxious for nothing. We already looked at how it sets us down on a slope that spiritually is not good. Anxiety will ultimately lead us to disobedience of God. But it also is extremely damaging to us physically. Last week I was reading how emotional health affects your physical health. And this book said that there are three toxic emotions. Can you guess what they are? Considering this is a sermon on anxiety, I'm trusting you all chose anxiety as one of them. That was a good choice. The other two are anger and depression. Those three emotions have a profound effect, negative effect, on your physical health. That's why God inspired Peter to write, cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. God cares about your spiritual state. He cares about your physical and emotional state. And this is an important verse because it shows us that the command to not be anxious is rooted in God's character. He cares for you. Do you believe that? If you don't believe deep down in your soul that God cares for you, you're not going to get victory over anxiety. Because you're going to feel like, I've got to solve that problem. And God, he shows us how to cast our care, anxiety on him. How are we to cast our anxiety on him? He tells us back in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. That's the verb in the sentence. That's the action. That's what we're supposed to do. In the Greek, it's in the present tense, which means it's something you do continually. When you're struggling with anxiety, a one-time prayer isn't going to take care of it. Casual prayer is not going to take care of it. We need to make our requests known in a continual, heartfelt way to God. When you struggle with anxiety, do you ever struggle to stop and pray? That's a natural temptation. And the reason is because at our root, we're thinking, when we have anxiety, we've got to do something. We've got to take care of that problem, solve that problem, and my anxiety will be taken care of. But God tells us, he doesn't want us to do something. He wants us to stop and ask him to do something. He wants us to exercise our faith in him and his goodness. This prayer, this making our requests known to God, has three elements to it. It's a certain kind of praying that we're supposed to do in fighting anxiety. The first two parts of it is prayer and supplication. In everything by prayer and supplication. Now, in English, those words sound kind of synonymous. What's the difference between prayer and supplication? Well, in the original language, prayer meant simply to speak to God, to talk to God, to dialogue with God, to commune with God. Supplication was this act of bringing your request to God with urgency. You have this need. You have this need that you're acutely aware of, and you're bringing it to Him with urgency. And this prayer, this kind of talking to God, this supplication, this bringing your needs with urgency, they're all to be done with a qualifier. They're to be done with thanksgiving. This word in Greek is the word that we get in English, Eucharist, which is another word for communion. And it shows the kind of attitude that we're supposed to come to communion with. That we come to communion remembering all that Jesus has done for us, all that Christ has done for us, and we respond with gratitude. We respond with thanksgiving. This is the kind of prayer when you're fighting with anxiety that you need to have. You talk to God, you bring your supplication, your urgent request, but you do it always remembering how good God has been to you in Christ Jesus. All that Christ has done for you. Now, if you struggle with this discipline of thanksgiving, if you need a little encouragement in the area of thanksgiving, I commend to you this a relatively new book called 1,000 Gifts. The author of this book suffered a lot in her life, and it darkened her view of life. When she was just 4 years old, her sister, who she was really close to, got hit by a milk truck and killed. Her mother couldn't cope with the tragedy and had to be put into a psychiatric hospital. Her father couldn't cope with the tragedy, and he turned his back on God and left the faith. She struggled her whole life with a dark outlook on life and feeling like she just couldn't measure up, that she wasn't good enough, that she was a failure. And a friend challenged her one day to quit focusing on her circumstances and to focus on all that God had done for her. And she went out, she made it a goal that she was going to write down 1,000 things that she was thankful for to God. And the motto of the book is Eucharisteo, or thanksgiving. Thanksgiving always precedes the miracle. Making our requests known to God, talking to Him, bringing it with urgency, wrapped always with thanksgiving, precedes this miracle that we need to experience, a victory over anxiety. It precedes the miracle because it ushers in the peace of God. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This phrase, peace of God, interestingly enough, it's the only time in the New Testament that that phrase occurs. The God of peace occurs 5 times. It occurs just a little bit later in this chapter 9, verse 9. But the peace of God, it's the only time in the New Testament this phrase is used. There is a certain kind of peace that God wants to give to you and me to help us in our battle with anxiety. He gives some qualities of this peace. This peace of God, it surpasses all comprehension. Comprehension of the situation, comprehension of the thing out there that's causing you anxiety. Surpasses means to be better than, to be of more value than, to excel. It was used back in those days of military, in military terms, when one army outflanked the other army. It meant to exceed or to outdo or to overtop. We have this phrase in English, that's a bit over the top. Well, when you're struggling with anxiety, when I'm struggling with anxiety, I need peace that's a bit over the top. And that's the kind of peace that God offers. It's better than, outdoes, is more value than our understanding, our comprehension of the situation. One commentator said, translated it this way, the peace of God which is better than all the answers to our questions why. Have you ever asked those questions of God, why? Why is this happening to me? Those of you who know us, Kathy and I just had our 28th anniversary, and our oldest son is 18. So you don't have to be very good with math to realize we had to wait a while before we could have children. And it was a tough phase. It was a tough struggle to go through infertility. And we were asking our friends to pray for us. We needed help. We had heavy hearts. And so we had a lot of friends praying for us. And then one day, the good news came. The pregnancy test was positive. We were pregnant. We were so happy. We were walking on air. We were Bible college students at the time. I ran to campus. I found all my friends who were praying for us and said, "Your prayers have been answered. We're going to have a baby. I'm going to be a daddy." I was so excited. And then about 2.5 months later, Kathy had a miscarriage. And it took the wind out of us. Have you ever had a disappointment like that? A pain that's so deep, it's hard to breathe? We didn't leave the house, I don't think, for 3 days. We just couldn't cope. And it's normal at times like that to ask why. Why is this happening? Why even get pregnant if we're just going to lose the baby? It was hard enough to be going through infertility. It's even harder now to have lost the baby. But you know, when you're at times like that and you're hurting so much, you're asking questions why, but answers are not going to bring comfort. At that time, if a medical doctor had come and visited us and said, "Listen, this is why miscarriages occur, they're normal, this is the physical reasons why they happen," that would have brought me no comfort. But we experienced this peace of God that passes all understanding, that surpasses all comprehension. And that's the kind of peace that God wants to give to you and me in our struggle with anxiety. Peace that surpasses all comprehension, that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That will guard our hearts and minds. And this is where we get insight into where our real struggle with anxiety occurs. Let's think back to when Paul's writing, the history, the cultural setting of that day. People usually in cities, they were walled cities. That's how they would protect themselves. They would live inside the walls. They would have gates. You had to walk into the city through the gates. And at the gates, there's two kinds of guards. There's the guards on the outside of the gate that keep all those bad things from coming in. But there's also guards on the inside of the gate that keep the criminals and those bad elements of society from escaping. In English, we only have one word, but in Greek, there's two different words for those guards. We read of this kind of guard on the outside. They were the Roman guards who guarded the tomb so that no one would come in and steal Jesus. They had to guard the tomb so no one would steal Jesus. The other kind of guard we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul is in the city of Damascus. The governor of Damascus wants to capture Paul. He knows Paul's in the city, so he sets a guard at the gate, and they're to arrest Paul when they find him. So what do the believers do? They lower Paul down in a basket outside the wall so he doesn't have to go through the gate. In preparing this sermon, I thought, okay, for sure, the guard that God puts over our heart to guard our hearts and mind is this guard that's going to guard us from all those bad things out there that cause me anxiety. But I found out it's actually this guard. It's on the inside. Because our struggle with anxiety is not those things on the outside. Our struggle is that we have a heart that has a hard time trusting in the character of God, the goodness of God, that he loves us and cares for us. He knows our needs, and he's going to take care of us. We all have that struggle. And God wants to give us a peace that will guard that struggle we have, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Francis Schaeffer said, men build castles without realizing that the enemy's inside. Our biggest enemy is inside. God wants to address this root cause of our anxiety. This root cause, a heart that struggles to trust Him and a mind that struggles to stay focused on Him. And He wants to replace that with His peace. Whatever you're facing now that's causing you anxiety, your biggest need is not for that thing to be taken care of or removed. Your biggest need, my biggest need, is God, this peace of God that surpasses all comprehension, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that doesn't just deal with the surface things, but deals with the root, our heart. I want to share with you an experience that I recently had. God is good to always give us fresh illustrations when we have to teach His word. I had a recent battle with anxiety. Our son, our oldest child, is a son who's 18. April 1st, he got his letter of acceptance to the University of Virginia. Hooray! We were so excited. It's a great school. They have what he wants to study. We rejoiced greatly every day for a week. And then I got the bill. I'm so glad that they don't send the bill for a week. It was nice to have that week of celebrating and rejoicing. But then I got the bill. And I looked at the bill. And we're really disciplined about budgeting. I know what comes in. I know what goes out. I'm good enough in math to know what comes in minus what goes out. That leaves what you have left. And that was really small compared to this bill. And I was overwhelmed. I just thought, how are we going to do this? How can we pay this bill? I didn't want to raise the debt ceiling. We have no debt ceiling. So this is what it looked like in my life. I came down as my normal routine. I woke up, came downstairs, made a cup of coffee, sat down, read the Bible, and then I prayed. And all I could pray that day was supplication. I said, God, this need, I don't know what to do with it. It's too big for me. I'm overwhelmed. Help me. And then I went to work. And that day, I had no peace. I struggled with anxiety that whole day. Next day, wake up, make my coffee, come down, supplication. God, I need help with this. And then I progressed a little bit beyond that to prayer, to talking to God. I said, God, I know You don't want me to be anxious. I know You care for me. But I'm really struggling with this. I don't know the way out. I went to work that day. I felt a little bit better. I didn't really have peace, but I felt a little bit better. Third day. Supplication. God, help me. I was talking to God. Prayer. And as I was talking to God, He brought to my mind this time where if I had five more minutes to share with you, I'd share you all the details. But there was a profound time in our life when we were missionaries that we had a huge financial need and God provided in a miraculous way. And He brought that to my mind. So I was talking to God and that came to my mind and I thought, God, thank You so much. You've provided for us. You provided for us in that situation. You are so good. Thank You for that. I know You're trustworthy. And that was the first day I began to experience peace. It was my first taste of peace. And as the days went on, I started coming down and just going right to this and saying, God, You've never let us down. You've always provided for us. And then I went beyond that to something even more profound. God, thank You that I've been experiencing this peace But I thank you because of Jesus, I have peace with you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me on the cross. Thank you that though I was so unworthy, you've given me everything I need for life and godliness. That is when I had peace. This journey, this little journey from this to this, made the whole thing worth it. In fact, I began to look at this that looked so black, so dark, so terrible, was causing me all this anxiety. I started to thank God for this. I actually thank God. Thank you that I'm not independently wealthy. I thank you that I had a need that forced me to focus on you and all that you've done for me and who you are. That journey is what helps us begin to see those things in our life that that at first glance makes us feel like that's what needs to be solved. That is what's causing me anxiety. Suddenly become a blessing in disguise. They become the thing that turns you to God and makes your love for him grow more and more. That journey is what helps us to realize that there's a thirst in this life that only the living waters of Jesus Christ can satisfy. So what's causing you anxiety today? Is it your financial future? The instability of the world around us? A relationship that's not yet mended? A health issue for you or a loved one? Something related to a child or a grandchild? What is it for you? I want to challenge you today to take a new perspective on that issue. Realize that that issue is not your real problem. It's not something you need to solve. Rather, accept the truth that the real problem is in us. We have a heart that needs help, and the only help is Jesus Christ. That God wants to give you his peace that passes all comprehension, that peace that's better than all of the answers to the questions why that you have, peace that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to seek more than the solution to our problems. And the path to finding that is talking to God, pouring out your request to God, but focusing on thanksgiving, all that God has done for you, all that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Bow with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for how gracious and how good you are. We know you're trustworthy. We know you care for us because you have shown it. You've given us your only Son, and through him we have redemption, sanctification, justification. We are made right with you. Thank you, Lord, for all these things that you bring into our life that at first cause us stress and anxiety, but thank you that you bring them in our life to take our eyes off of this life and put them onto you. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.